Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for these daily challenges. Today is Wednesday, so it's the day we see how the Bible challenges and transforms our thinking. And this week we've been looking at how Jesus' birth changed everything, and in particular, how it changed the powerful. We told the story yesterday of King Herod, the king who was in place out of convenience for the Romans in Israel. In Jesus' day, when Jesus was born, who was terrified that Jesus represented a threat to his power. That Jesus, if he was truly the rightful king of Israel, or truly the Messiah, the anointed one, the true king of Israel, if that was truly who he was, then Herod had no place anymore. Herod would be revealed for the fraud that he was and would lose power. And Herod does whatever he can to cling to power. Yesterday we saw that he even had all the boys under age 2 murdered just to make sure he could hold on to power. He led and ruled through violence and fear. And there's an incredible contrast with the way Jesus is described as a ruler and leader. Jesus is also described as the king of the Jews, but he's not there by having manipulated the system like Herod did. Jesus is the king by right. It is who he is. It's not something he's grasped for, that power, but it's part of him being God here on earth, incarnate, and now ruling over the universe at the right hand of God the Father. That's how Jesus is described. And it's described as a rule of peace, not of war and violence. Herod, of course, does rule through violence, but Jesus is described as the Prince of Peace in one of the prophecies that predicted that he would be coming. Described as the Prince of Peace. You've at once got the power and authority in that title and the way he'll do it. The kingdom of heaven, where Jesus rules over and which will eventually become in its fullness on this earth, is described as a place where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more violence, no more death, no more pain. There's all these descriptions that are describing a kingdom of peace. Kind of kingdom we would all live in if we could. And we can. That's the amazing thing, is that this is a ruler who invites us to come into a relationship with him, to receive his loving care, and to give thanks to him in return, to have a real, true relationship. This is why Jesus was described in one of those prophecies predicting his arrival on earth as a light in a great darkness, because people were ruled over by a guy like Herod. And he wasn't even the top of the food chain. The Roman emperor was no pushover either. They were ruled over by these violent and powerful regimes. The question, of course, is how do we respond to somebody like Jesus? Do we respond with fear and anger like Herod? Or do we respond like the wise men in worship, in adoration, in pursuing and seeking out Jesus? Well, just look at history. King Herod has gone down in history as a despot, a ruler who killed babies simply because one out of all those thousands threatened his sense of power. That's how Herod has gone down in history. The wise men have gone down in history as those who were some of the first worshipers of Jesus, first to recognize who he was as a true king. Who do you want to go down in history as? Somebody who railed against Jesus in anger, or somebody who embraced him with open arms? Jesus, by contrast to Herod, is still worshipped today as a king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Think of the songs that people sing at Christmas, "Glory to the Newborn King." Jesus, unlike Herod, has had a reputation that's lasted through the ages. One of goodness and peace that has impacted people's lives in ways that scared the powerful, but also scared the religious, like we saw last week. Jesus scares the powerful because Jesus is the true source of power in our world. Anyone with power and authority in our world, the Bible says, actually derives that power ultimately from God. They're using tools or people that God created to achieve their power, and in a bad sense or a good sense. They're always using God's creation, God's gift to them of free will, God's gift to them of talents and abilities, either for good or for ill, when they exercise power in this world. But Jesus, as God, represents the ultimate power. And that sends the powerful running. I know somebody who was trying to convince me of something that somebody in authority over us wanted us to do. And he said that he had been told to start this group that was going to change this and do that, and that all this was happening because somebody else had given their blessing. Well, that person was away for 3 months and had no opportunity to tell us if that was true or not. All we had was this person's word. Well, in the end, we found out that this person was speaking out of turn. The person in authority had never said those things. They didn't want the things done. This was somebody just trying to get their way. When that person returned from their 3 months off, everything changed. This other person's plan was no longer the plan. Now the person in authority was leading once again. But when they were away, there was a little leadership vacuum. And people try to fill that and sometimes try to use it for their own purposes. And that's what happens in our world all the time. Because we rebelled against God and are no longer as human beings in a close personal relationship with Him, there's a bit of a leadership vacuum in our world. God is the rightful, true leader and king. But with the distance that we've introduced between us and God, there is a leadership vacuum there that all sorts of people try to fill. But when the true king and leader of this world comes, those who tried to fill that vacuum and use it for their own purposes go running. They know true power when they see it, and they know that they are a fraud like Herod. But those who've tried to fill that leadership vacuum like Jesus would have, those who are trying to follow Jesus and lead like Jesus, they're a little bit more like the Magi, in that when Jesus comes, they recognize true power and they bow down to it in worship. So the question, of course, is how will you respond? And we'll look at that in a bit more depth tomorrow, but I've got a question for you to think about first. What do you think true power and authority looks like? And how would you recognize it if it came? Don't forget, we're trying to read the Bible in sync, and it's just a few days until our Christmas party. Hope to see you there. Hope you've bought a toy by now for our toy drive to share with those in need. I'll see you tomorrow on video and Saturday in person at our party. Bye for now.